Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today I will analyze the case of Daniel Naroditsky. First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the incident, then offer my analysis. Daniel Naroditsky was born on November 9, 1995, in San Mateo, California. His father was from Ukraine, and his mother was from Azerbaijan. Starting at the age of 6, Daniel studied the game of chess. In 2007, he was the youngest player ever to win the Northern California K-12 Chess Championship. He scored another victory that same year in the under-12 section of the World Youth Chess Championship. This earned him the title of FIDE Master. FIDE is the International Chess Federation. The name comes from its French acronym. In 2010, Daniel published a book on chess. He published a second book in 2012. During the next year, 2013, he won the U.S. Junior Championship. Daniel was officially awarded the title Grandmaster. He continued to compete over the next several years and found himself consistently ranked in the top 200 chess players in the world and in the top 25 for a fast-paced version of chess called Blitz. In addition to being quite popular as a chess player, Daniel was a well-liked commentator and teacher on social media. He had about 500,000 subscribers on his YouTube channel. Daniel had interests outside of chess. For instance, he continued his education after high school by attending Stanford University. In 2019, he earned a bachelor's degree in history. In 2020, Daniel moved into a house in Charlotte, North Carolina. He trained and worked as a coach at the Charlotte Chess Center. Daniel continued having extraordinary success playing chess. For example, in August 2025, he won the U.S. National Blitz Championship. His reputation had been cemented not only as an incredible chess player, but due to his frequent online play, a pioneer who helped usher chess into the digital era. Now moving to the timeline of the incident. Since 2023, the former world chess champion Vladimir Kramnik accused several players of cheating during online chess matches. He didn't really have much in the way of evidence, but he continued making allegations. That same year, Chess.com shut down Vladimir's blog, claiming that he used it to spread baseless allegations against several dozen players. Starting in October 2024, Vladimir added Daniel to his accusation list. On occasion, Daniel would look sideways during matches as if he was glancing at another monitor. Vladimir claimed this was consistent with cheating. He also accused Daniel of inflating his rating by picking less skilled opponents. These allegations hit Daniel like a ton of bricks. He had a strong reaction and desperately tried to defend himself. Daniel denied ever cheating and was disgusted with Vladimir. He told anyone who would listen that Vladimir was out to get him. Despite Daniel's denial, Vladimir had a number of loyal supporters who were willing to believe his claims. Daniel referred to the supporters as an army of troglodyte lowlifes. On a podcast hosted by other grandmasters, Daniel explained how the accusations affected his mood. He referred to Vladimir's allegations as sustained, evil, and representing an absolutely unhinged attempt to destroy his life. Daniel said, quote, "He is trying to ruin my life. He is trying to inflict emotional harm, physical harm on me. He knows exactly what he's doing," unquote. Late on October 17 and early on October 18, 2025, Daniel conducted a live stream of him playing blitz chess on chess.com. Playing online blitz games was a frequent behavior for Daniel. Normally, he was very comfortable with this activity. On this night, however, he seemed agitated. Early in the live stream, Daniel talked about how he should not browse Reddit because certain comments would get to him. After dancing around the subject a little bit, he revealed that he was upset that people thought he was too sensitive. Presumably, he meant too sensitive in responding to the accusations made against him by Vladimir. After 5 chess matches, where Daniel had 3 victories, he once again talked about the allegations, saying, quote, "I could not live if I knew that some carry the notion that I am morally bankrupt," unquote. After this, Daniel lost 10 chess matches in a row. He was clearly frustrated, at one point pounding his fist on a table. Over 2 hours into the live stream, the doorbell rang. 2 of Daniel's friends had stopped by to check on his welfare. One of them said, "You gotta go to sleep, man." Daniel responded, I know. Just give me a few more games, and I'll go to sleep. I set a 2 a.m. curfew. What's the matter? After one of the men asked, what's the plan? Daniel shot back, I don't understand what the issue is. Please let me play a few more games of chess in peace, and I'm off to bed. Daniel played two more games. He won both of them. One of his friends asked him to finish the stream. Daniel responded, can I end on the next loss? The friend said, no, I'll unplug it if you don't end it. Daniel said, the problem is, since the CranMix stuff, I feel like if I start doing well, people assume the worst of intentions. The issue is just the lingering effect of it. The friend told Daniel, you don't have to prove anything to those people. Daniel started one more game before ending the live stream just after the opening. On the next day, October 19, 2025, at about 7:11 p.m., Daniel was found dead on his couch by the same two friends who had checked on his welfare on October 18. He was 29 years old. The police have indicated that no foul play is suspected. One possible cause of death is a drug overdose. However, at the time I'm making this video, the cause is not known. Now moving to my analysis. Here are my thoughts on a few areas that stood out to me in this case. Item number one. Vladimir CranMix has been condemned by many well-known chess players. For example, former world champion Magnus Carlsen called his behavior appalling. FIDE said it was launching an investigation into whether Vladimir should be disciplined for the disparaging public statements that he made about Daniel both before and after Daniel died. The possible sanctions range from financial penalties to a ban. According to FIDE, the organization may sanction a player who makes unfounded accusations based on emotion or insufficient data. If Vladimir had data that were sufficient, he probably already would have presented them. It sounds like Vladimir may be in some trouble with FIDE. I would be surprised if he walked away without any penalties. Item number two, Vladimir has made a few statements to the media claiming that he is a victim in this situation. For example, he was the subject of a bullying and slandering PR campaign, and threats were made against him and his family. And the investigation by FIDE is insulting and unfair, and they are harassing him. He seemed to be confused about why FIDE is investigating him at all, saying, quote, I don't understand what words they're talking about. I did not say anything bad about him, and I demand to confirm these accusations of FIDE of my unworthy words after his death with an actual quote, unquote. Vladimir posted on social media that he contacted the Charlotte Police Department and asked them to investigate the death of Daniel, providing them some additional information. He claimed that he tried to get someone to help Daniel, but people ignored his warnings. Vladimir wanted the real truth about the circumstances and cause of this tragedy to be revealed, despite all attempts to hide it. In an unusual move, Vladimir attempted to go on the offensive by claiming that all those falsely blaming him for Daniel's death will be held legally responsible. This includes him approaching the police in Switzerland to start a criminal case. This makes it seem like Vladimir does not quite understand how the law works. Defamation is civil, not criminal. And his chances of prevailing in a defamation suit are extremely low, given the public record of his year-long campaign against Daniel. Furthermore, Vladimir would probably be countersued for filing frivolous litigation, which would only compound his problems. Vladimir's reaction should not be unexpected, considering he is a chess champion. One popular strategy in the game is to go on the offensive when a piece is attacked. To be fair to Vladimir, there is no proof that he caused Daniel's death, and not all his accusations were unsupported. This brings me to item number three. When a person dies, there is often an outpouring of sympathy and a reluctance to discuss any negative characteristics the person may have possessed. This means that the accusations made against Daniel will never be fully explored. No one will know if he cheated or not. Vladimir made many unsupported accusations, but he did point out at least one behavior Daniel engaged in, which is exceptionally suspicious. During a live stream on his YouTube channel against a player with a much lower rating, Daniel mentioned that he was looking at a chess engine on another monitor. Daniel tried to explain this behavior by saying he was teaching a lesson and he was simply checking out a move that he made earlier. He wanted to see what the chess engine recommended for the position he had been in. Even though Daniel downplayed this incident, nobody competing in chess matches should ever be looking at a chess engine. There is no excuse for that behavior. Daniel may not have been looking at the engine to cheat, but he left himself wide open to be accused of cheating. Item number 4, what do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. Daniel had a gift for playing chess, which was discovered during his early years. Fortunately, this gift was nurtured, and Daniel was able to ascend to the level of grandmaster. During some of his games online, Daniel explained the logic behind many of his moves. There was no need for him to cheat. He really was a chess genius. During the COVID-19 pandemic, many people who played chess over the board, that is, in person with another player physically present, were forced to go online. This led to chess becoming popular with a new audience. Daniel became a prominent figure in this transition from over the board to online. He was well regarded as an educator and a champion. Unfortunately, online chess is dependent on the honor system, at least for the most part. Cheating is very easy and very common. One of the most popular cheating methods is to have a chess engine open on another monitor. This not only makes the best move known to the player, but the player can get that move quickly. Vladimir Kramnik was upset by all the cheating that was going on in chess. He started accusing a lot of other players. Many people dismissed his accusations as coming from a place of envy or antagonism, but that doesn't mean all the accusations were incorrect. When Daniel was caught using a chess engine during an online game, he had no good way to explain it. I don't believe that Daniel actually cheated during chess matches. In my opinion, he probably had the chess engine visible to double-check moves that he already made, just like he stated. The problem is, having the engine up showed a serious lack of judgment. Daniel had damaged his reputation, and he gave credibility to the other accusations that Vladimir was making. Vladimir had a lot of authority as a world champion and was one of Daniel's heroes. Daniel had looked up to him as a child. Daniel probably would have been better off not addressing the allegations at all, but instead, he dove into the minutiae, trying to defend himself from every little observation that Vladimir pointed out. The more Daniel defended himself, the worse he looked. He found himself playing from a losing position. Every time he made what he believed to be a brilliant move, he was faced with an effective counterattack. Much like when a knight is able to trap a queen and a rook and a fork, Daniel did not have a good choice. He was going to lose a piece of value either way, but he simply could not accept that outcome. The police mentioned that substance use was one possible cause of Daniel's death. This is an unusual thing to say if they didn't have some reason to believe it, which makes it seem like Daniel had been using substances. Perhaps the stress of his situation led him to accidentally overdose. Sometimes when a person has a tremendous intellectual gift, like being great at chess, there are deficits in other areas. Many grandmasters tend to be socially awkward. The logical nature of chess seems to extend into their relational style, making them appear aloof, cold, and calculating. What made Daniel special was how he appeared to be relatively normal socially, despite having a fantastic aptitude for the game of chess. He was actually relatable, which made him a popular and well-regarded teacher. Unfortunately, Daniel was also quite sensitive. I think he recognized this near the end, but he did not know how to address it. He knew that he was not actually a cheater, but he also knew that he would never be able to fully climb out from under the allegations. Daniel felt as though he was in the endgame and down on material. All he could do was watch an army of pawns march toward promotion. This losing position left him in a pernicious state of mind. Just like checkmate, it signaled the end of the game. Those are my thoughts in the case of Daniel Naroditsky. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon.